Ladies, I enjoyed that, didn't you? And I can concur. I do believe God. Say, why, preacher, do you believe him? Well, he hasn't let me down so far. Why wouldn't I? Okay, he's done everything in my life. Anything of significance in my life has come from God. And he's never left me, and he will not leave me nor forsake me. He's never abandoned me. And now the thing about it is, sometimes we think he does, but he's there. Okay, he's not left you. And so don't ever forget that, listen, just trust God. Sometimes you can't always see the hand of God. So at that time, that's when you got to trust the heart of God. Because you won't always see the hand moving in your life. Church, take your Bible, if you would, tonight. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to read you two separate stories in the Bible that have something very important in common that I want to speak to you tonight on the character trait of listening and learning. The character trait of listening and learning. Tonight I want to help us with perfecting our listening skills. And because a lot of times we do a lot of talking and not much listening. And the Bible has something to say about that for those of us who talk too much and don't listen enough. We'll look at it. It has something to say about that. And so I want to help us tonight, and in the short time that we have, I want to talk to you about the character trait of listening and learning. Would you stand with me? 1 Samuel chapter 3, you'll recognize it once I start reading in verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Oh, don't you long for that again? Where the word of the Lord in all the land was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." Now wait a minute, just a minute. We're going to find out that Samuel, the Lord called, but he thought it was Eli calling. So he heard a voice, and he just answered, "Here am I." Hey, listen, I'd rather have somebody that would listen and answer than somebody don't answer at all. It says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" You see that word "heareth" right there? That doesn't mean necessarily with your ears. He said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." It's hearing not just with your physical ear, but with your spiritual sense, with your spiritual ears. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. But listen to what he said. He said, "Say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Thy servant heareth. But it's not just with his ears. He said, "I'm listening with my heart. I'm listening with my heart." All right, find your place in 1 Kings chapter 19. You'll recognize this passage as well. 1 Kings chapter number 19 and verse number 9. "And it came to pass thither," or "he came to pass thither," this is Elijah. As you know, Jezebel's on it, is hot on his trail now. And so he takes off, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." You see, if we're not careful, folks, we want God to answer. We want God to speak to us on our terms. And we want Him to speak in such a way that it would be quite evident. Every time He speaks, it would be quite evident what the perfect will of God is and what the perfect path to follow is. You know, sometimes, folks, we're going to have to look into the Word of God. He gave us the Word of God. He's already spoken His Word right here. And there's some things that He doesn't have to speak to you about. He's already spoken truth, and we've got to seek it out. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Did you know that Elijah heard, and when he heard, then he responded. And I want to speak to you tonight, church, on these subjects, or on these out of these verses, on the subject of the character trait of listening and learning. Father, meet with us now in this short time that we have together. Would you teach us, we pray, Holy Spirit, and give you all the glory and praise for what you'll accomplish tonight in our hearts, in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, church, I want to say, first of all, that there is a fundamental difference between hearing and listening. Did you hear what I said? I said there's a fundamental difference between hearing and listening. You see, hearing something may encompass only the acknowledgement of a sound or the acknowledgement of words and without grasping what the purpose is. But you listen to me. Listening is hearing, but it's also assimilating. It's also taking what I hear and determining. For instance, if someone rang a bell tonight, I could hear it with my ear, but if I listened, I understand that it's a bell simply by the sound. So I not only heard it, I assimilated it and was able to discern what it was. You see, listening is more than just hearing. It's assimilating words. It's assimilating knowledge. It's assimilating learning so that we can actually hear with our ear and activate our spiritual sense of assimilating the truth. Let me explain what I'm talking about. Again, I kind of abuse our teachers here, but I'll use them because it's a perfect illustration. You see, a teacher who speaks in class may be heard by all the class, but not all the class was listening. Are you okay with that, teachers? Sometimes when you teach and you speak, everybody hears, but not everybody's listening. Not everybody's assimilating. Not everybody's taking in the truth that you're trying to communicate. You see, the teacher can communicate a concept. They can communicate a principle that's relevant to the subject of the class, and some will hear, but some will listen. And you know how you can tell who listened and who didn't? All you got to do is look at their tests. All you got to do is look at their homework. How many times growing up as a child did your parents get on to you because you did not listen? Wait a minute, it wasn't that you didn't hear. It's you didn't listen. You didn't assimilate. You didn't take what the facts were and make the application to our life. And folks, every one of us in here are guilty of this. That's the reason the Scripture talks about not being just a hearer of the Word, but a... You know what the difference between a hearer and a doer is? It's listening. It's being able to assimilate what God is trying to communicate. You know, it's sad today in our schools across the country that kids will go to school and graduate, and some of them can't read, some of them can't add, some of them can't assimilate. Listen, what is the problem there? Many times they're getting in class, they're hearing with their ears, but they're not assimilating. They're not listening with their spirit. Listen, go check me out. Webster says the word listen means more than hearing. It means to apply. It means to pay attention. Listen, it means to tune in like you would tune your radio in to a frequency and to a radio station. Many of you, when you leave here tonight, you'll get in your car and you'll click the radio on and you'll turn the dial, and you may turn it to the Rangers game, or you may turn it to music, or you may turn it to somebody, some talk show. You may turn it to something, but the whole reason that you're tuning in is to listen. That's what you're there for. That's why you tune in, so that you can hear what's being said. Now, you know, some people physically, and some of our folks here may have young children that struggle with ADD. And it's a real thing. And so many times that disorder, that child struggles. And you know what they struggle with the most? They struggle with listening. They struggle with the ability to sit and actually pay attention and focus for any length of time and be able to listen. Oh, listen, it's not the problem. It's not that they're not hearing. The problem is they're not listening. And they struggle with listening and assimilating facts. Now, can I say this to you tonight with all due respect? I think some of us have spiritual ADD. I think some of us have attention deficit disorder when it comes to spiritual matters. Oh, no, it's not that we don't hear preaching. We hear it. It's just that we're not listening to it. Just like some tonight have decided to come, and you know what? You've already taken your spiritual knob, and you've already, you know what? I'm going to turn the volume down on that preacher. And you've already turned the volume down. Now, and listen, you can still hear me, but you're not listening. You say, well, preacher, you can get as loud as you want. I already cut you off. I've already, you're down so low right now, it's not even registering on my radar. Well, let me tell you something. There's going to come a day where you're going to need God. And what's going to happen is you're going to have the volume, the frequency turned down so low that you're not going to hear what he's trying to communicate to you. And you're going to make a decision one day that's going to wreck your life. You're going to make a decision one day that's going to hurt your family. You're going to, listen, I'm telling you folks, all of us are one decision away from destroying our family. We're one decision away from destroying our marriage. We're one decision away from destroying our walk with God. And I think it's all because we're not very good listeners. Oh, no, no, it's not that we can't hear. The problem is we're not listening. We're not assimilating. We're not taking into our spirit what God is trying to communicate. There is a big difference. I know there's a big difference between listening and hearing because the Lord pointed it out. He says too many of us are hearers of the word but not doers. He said got a lot of hearers, not many listeners, not many people listening. Well, can I say to you, church, that in the scripture the word hear or the form of the word hear, heareth, is used in its purest form in scripture of the acknowledgement of sound. But listen to me. But it's also used in its purposeful form of listening and applying. So many times when Jesus would say, hear ye me, he wasn't just talking about the sound of his voice. He was talking about assimilating the truth that he's communicating. He said, don't just hear, but listen. Apply what I'm trying to communicate to you. You know, there were several people in Scripture that were good listeners. We just read one. Samuel was a good listener because you know what he said? He said, here I am, Lord, thy servant heareth. Speak! He responded. Elijah, it took him a while, but he became a good listener. Hey, you know something? God had to take Jacob to Bethel a few times in Genesis 34 and 35. But you know what? Jacob became a good listener. Moses, Exodus chapter 3, you know where God took him? God took him up on a mountain to a burning bush. You know why? He wasn't a very good listener right at the beginning. You know why? Because he kept complaining. He kept saying, I can't do this, I can't do this. Now listen, it's not recorded in Scripture, but I think if you kind of read the tone of God's voice there, I think basically what he finally got to the point with Moses, he said, would you be quiet? You talk too much. Now listen, he said, you talk too much. You just need to listen and stop talking. And listen, the thing about it is God got his attention with a burning bush. Moses became a good, not just hearer, a listener. Now you say, wait a minute, preacher, how do you know he listened? Well, by the time he got to Egypt. Amen. Are you following me? By the time he got to Egypt, you know what he did? He walked right up to that Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. Wait a minute, stop. What did God tell him all the way back at the burning bush? Is that not what he told him to do? See, he didn't just hear, he listened. And he went and applied exactly what God told him to do. And then he did all the miracles exactly like God told him to do. You know what? I know that he didn't just hear, he listened. He assimilated what God had communicated to him. Peter, we're going to talk about him again here in just a moment. At the beginning, he wasn't a very good listener, but you know what? By the time Luke 22 rolled around, he denied the Lord three times. He went out bitterly. You know what? He felt led to listen. He could hear a little bit better then. Sometimes God has to bring us on the road to Damascus like he brought Saul of Tarsus. And he had to knock Saul of Tarsus down in his face. And you know what? By the time he got down in his face, he was all about listening. He was all about, Lord, what do you want? What do you want with me? You see, Peter wasn't much of a listener. He kind of liked to talk. He was a talker. He was a teller. He wasn't much of a listener. And can I say to you, y'all want to be honest? Now, let's just be honest. You know what? That's kind of where we are. We like to talk too much. Amen. We're not much about this listening thing. But boy, we sure like to talk, don't we? You see, the thing about us, many times, the more we talk, the more we get in trouble. The more we listen, the more educated we get. We need to be better. We need to hone our listening skills. Can I tell you, there were some people in the Bible that were terrible at listening? Let me take you back to Genesis chapter 4. Don't turn there. I'm going to tell you a lot of these. Genesis 4, verses 3 through 8. There we have two boys born of the first man and the first woman. Now, I know that God, being a just God, had to at some point communicate them what kind of worship he would accept. He had to, right? But oh, let me say, God's not going to communicate to you and I how to be saved without telling us how to go about being saved, right? Amen. So there in those early stages, he had to have communicated at some point to Cain and Abel what was acceptable worship and what was not acceptable worship. Now listen to me. Both of them heard, but only one listened. Only one listened. Because, you know, you say, well, how do we know that? Because God only accepted one of their offerings. He rejected the other one. Now, wait a minute. Do you think both of them heard? Oh, yeah. But only one listened. One didn't listen. Let me ask you this. By not listening, did it cost Cain? Oh, boy, did it ever cost him. Matter of fact, it cost him so much that he got angry about it and murdered his own brother. You know where it all led back to? Because he didn't listen. He didn't assimilate. He didn't take what God said was acceptable and what was not acceptable. He did it on his own. Hey, let me go a step further in Genesis chapter 6. There was everybody on planet Earth. Listen to me. Everybody on planet Earth except 8 people were terrible listeners. Everybody. You know why? Because the Scripture says that they were wicked in their hearts and their minds continually. Only 8 people listened. You know where it got them? Saved. You know where it got the rest of the world? Damned. They all drowned in the flood. Now listen. They had 120 years to listen. 120 years. As the ark was building, they heard teaching, they heard preaching, they saw a lifestyle. Noah communicated. I have a sneaky suspicion his family communicated. They were probably out witnessing, telling people, listen, telling you, you better get on my daddy's ark. Better get on this ark, man. Because God, my daddy knows God. You know what? My daddy teaches us every single night. Teaches about God. You know what? You better get on this boat. They had 120 years. They heard. Listen, but they never listened. Because one day, all the animals got on, all the 8 souls got on, and God, boom, shut the door. And when God shuts the door, no man can open it. And you know what? When he shut the door, you think some of, listen, you think some of them, when they felt that first raindrop on their head, bloop, uh-oh, we should have listened. And folks, do you understand where I'm going with this? Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, many times in our lives, God hits us in the head with a raindrop and we go, uh-oh, I should have listened. But by that time, folks, many times it's too late. Many times we've made a decision that has hurt our home, our family, our lives. Listen, the whole world in Noah's day, terrible listeners. Let me give you another person who's a bad listener. King Saul, terrible listener. Terrible listener. Oh boy, he heard a bunch of things, but he didn't listen to a whole lot of things. You say, like what? Well, first of all, remember when he was supposed to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites? Did he do that? No, he saved alive. Sacrifices and King Agag. And Samuel came, and he says, oh, by the way, I like this. Go check me out. Okay? When Samuel came to Saul, before Samuel could even get anything out of his mouth, Samuel already said, I did what you told me to. I've already done what you told me to, and he did not. And Samuel said, okay, well, then what's the bleating of the sheep in my ear then? Well, you know, I mean, sacrifices. Come on, preacher. You understand that, don't you? Come on, preacher, you understand that I'm doing you a favor. Look at all these sacrifices we got. Didn't cost us a red cent. And preacher, you got to admit, that's a good deal. But can I say something? Samuel's not smiling. You want being a bad listener cost Saul the kingdom and eventually his life. Wait a minute now. And the life of his sons. Why? Because he didn't listen. He didn't listen. Remember his impatience where he thought, you know what, Samuel? You're not coming to offer sacrifices. You're not coming to do the thing that you're supposed to do, so I'm just going to do it myself. You know what? Bad listener. He knew better than that, didn't he? He was a hearer, but he didn't listen very well. Can I remind you? Let me give you one other illustration. We'll move on. John chapter 18 and chapter 19. Remember when they brought Jesus to Pilate? You remember the scripture says that Pilate's wife had a vision. She came to Pilate and she says, don't do anything to this just man. You better let him go. God spoke to me. I've had a vision. Don't do anything to this man. Listen, he heard, but did he listen? No. Because he let the pressure of the people make his decision for him. You see, the thing about his Pilate's probably in hell today. Listen now, folks. And he was that close to Jesus' face. That close. Matter of fact, he even got in Jesus' face when the Lord said that all who believe in him that are of the truth will hear his voice. And the next thing out of Pilate's mouth was, what is truth? You see, Pilate heard, but he didn't listen. He didn't listen. You see, we're exhorted in Scripture, church, to cultivate our listening skills. Take your Bible, go to Ecclesiastes 5. Go to Ecclesiastes 5 for just a moment. Let's take a look at a few verses right quick, okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I want to help us all tonight. But look at this. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse number 1. It says, keep thy foot. Wait a minute, stop. This is Solomon talking, isn't it? Was he supposed to be the wisest man in the world? Was he supposed to be the smartest man on earth? Did the scripture say that that there's never been a person wiser before, or will there ever be after Solomon? Okay, this pretty smart guy, right? Listen to what he says. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to talk. Is that what your King James Bible says? Go help me out. It says, be more ready to what? Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. And listen, folks, we don't have time to go research this and do this, but you can go find the sacrifice. You know what the problem was in the book of Proverbs? You know what Solomon communicated to be the sacrifice of fools? Here it is. Watch me now. Okay? They talk too much. They were more of a talker than they were a listener. That's the reason every time they opened their mouth, many times something stupid came out. Many times a fool, when he opens his mouth, something comes out that is not conducive to Christianity or to a walk with God. He said, be more ready to hear. Listen, folks, is he talking about just with this right here? No. He's talking about not be more ready not just to hear with the ear, but to assimilate, to listen with the Spirit. Take your Bible, if you would, go to Matthew chapter 11. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Now, Jesus made this statement numerous times, and it's used numerous times also in other places in Scripture. But Jesus made this statement numerous times after he would teach a principle, and he taught a truth. Look at Matthew 11 and verse number 15. He that hath ears. Well, stop. Hang on just a minute. Did Jesus know everybody had ears? Okay, so he already knew that everybody had physical ears, right? So you think that's what he's talking about? He said, he that hath ears, let him do what? Let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He wasn't talking about your physical ears. He was talking about the spiritual sense. You see, church, whether many of us realize it or not, do you know that a lot of top corporations quite frequently give their employees listening skill training? I read an article on this not too long ago about a corporation that frequently gave their employees listening skills training. And here's what they found out. When they gave their employees listening skill training on a regular basis and to improve their listening skills, here's what it led to. Number one, it led to better customer satisfaction. It led to greater productivity. It led, listen now, to fewer mistakes. And it increased information among the employees that led to more quality work. So you know what? Let me ask you. Was it beneficial for the corporation to constantly be instructing their employees on listening skills? Yeah. It was beneficial to them. Listen, would it be beneficial to the kingdom of God if we kind of honed our listening skills? Would it be beneficial to the things of God and to the salvation of souls and to the moving of the message of Christ around the world if we became a little bit better in this area of listening? Here's what I want to do tonight. I'm going to give you just a few things I think that will help us about cultivating a listening ear. To cultivate a listening ear. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 13. All right, this is just practical stuff, all right? Just practical stuff. Proverbs chapter 13, because folks, I believe without a question that listening and learning is a character trait. Yeah, it's a character trait. You have to do it on purpose. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 3. Proverbs 13 and verse number 3. Look what it says. Proverbs 13, 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have what? All right, here's number one. I've said it two or three times already. If we're going to cultivate a listening ear, number one, stop talking so much. You say, well, preacher, I got to talk. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Okay? You have to communicate with your mouth, right? But what we need to do is we need to stop talking so much because, listen, that was what Peter's problem was. You say, well, preacher, I got to open my mouth and talk. No. Peter's problem was what Jesus didn't reprimand him because he opened his mouth and words came out. He reprimanded him because he was constantly being in objection to something the Lord said. And even so much one time, he grabbed the Lord by the arm. That bad thing right there. Now listen, when he did that, here's what Jesus told him. This stern words, folks. You know why? Because he talked too much. He was a talker, a teller, not a listener. And he looked at Peter in the face and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And folks, that's pretty stern words. But you know why he told him that? Because he talked too much. Because when the Lord was telling or teaching a principle and trying to communicate a truth, he was always talking. He was always finding a loophole. He was always doing something that had to do with him. You know, he had a problem with this all the way through most of his life. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You get to Acts chapter 2, he got over this real quick. But you know where it all took place? It all took place in John 21 with a little seaside seminar. Remember that? Remember Jesus showed up on the shores of Galilee? Backslidden disciples going back fishing. Jesus sitting on the seashore. They see a little fire going. And all they hear is, "Hey, boys, caught anything?" "No." "Well, let me tell you something. When you backslide, you're never going to catch anything. Now, things aren't going to right. By the way, they're not going to go right, and they shouldn't go right. Because God's waiting for you to make a change." And so, listen, John recognized. He said, "Oh, Peter, it's the Lord." Peter said, "Oh, my goodness, I'm naked." So he threw a robe on, dove into the sea, swam to shore, came there, and Jesus said, "Come and dine." Now, wait a minute. This is the same guy that didn't even listen. He didn't listen earlier. But boy, he sure liked to talk, didn't he? Boy, he sure liked to yap. He sure liked to rebuke. He sure liked to find out what was going on. Listen, he continued to do it even after this, even after the Lord said, "Lovest thou me more than this?" "Oh, Lord, you know I love thee." Still talking. Now, wait, listen, follow me now. He was hearing, but he wasn't listening. Because Jesus was trying to get to a point, right? He said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Now help me out, church. This is not hard. Okay? This is elementary Christianity. What was he trying to teach him? What was he trying to communicate to him? Was it the fish that was the subject of the matter? No! Wasn't the fish. Was it his backslidden life that was the subject of the matter? No, that wasn't it. That wasn't the subject matter. Listen, the subject matter was the Lord wanted him to listen. Do you love me more than these? The subject wasn't the fish. The subject wasn't Baxter. The subject was Jesus. Do you love me more than these? Ask him three times. And listen, you know what his answer was? Lord, you know I do. You know I do. He's still not listening. Okay, he's hearing, but he's not listening. He's not assimilating. And finally, it dawns on him. Ah, so that's what the Lord's talking about. So they're walking along the seashore. They're discussing this. He looks over his shoulder and he sees John. And listen, he's still got a problem, right? Because he looks at Jesus and the Lord's already communicated to him exactly how he's going to die and what his ministry would be. He looks over his shoulder and sees John. He said, Lord, what's he going to do? What's this old boy going to do? And listen, I'm gonna paraphrase just a moment here and tell you in English vernacular. Here's what he said. Mind your own business. Now listen to me. What was Peter still doing? Talking too much. He was hearing, but he wasn't listening. I read a quote from Mark Twain. Here's what Mark Twain said. He said, if we were supposed to talk more than we are to listen, then God would have given us two tongues and one ear. Makes sense, right? If we were to talk more than we were to listen, then he would have given us two tongues and one ear. Problem is he didn't. He gave us two ears and one tongue. Kind of tells us we ought to be more of a listener than a talker. All I'm saying is stop talking so much and start listening. Number two, avoid distractions. Avoid distractions. Boy, are we ever easily distracted. This is Saul's problem. Saul was very easily distracted. Can I tell you, first of all, he was distracted with himself. That was one of his main issues. Because a lot of times it wasn't about the will of God, it was all about him. It was all about what his life and what he wanted, and he got easily distracted with himself. Listen, but he also got distracted with impatience. He was a very impatient man. You go read the life of King Saul, not only was he a very impatient man, he was a very paranoid man. And he got very easily distracted. Listen, he got distracted with himself. Listen, folks, even to the point one time that he went to a witch. That's how distracted he got. You know what? You know where it all started? Because he heard a lot of things, but he wasn't listening to a lot of things. He got distracted with himself. He got distracted with impatience. Remember when Samuel didn't show up when he thought he ought to, when it was time? So he said, you know what? Then fine, I'll go do it. God said, bad news, man. Bad news. He was impatient, but it was a distraction to him. Hey, listen, he got distracted with people. You know who his number one, who he thought now was his number one enemy? The guy that loved him. And he allowed that jealousy of David distract him from all other things. All right, listen, you know where he spent most of the last part of his life? Chasing David. That's where he spent most of the last part of his life. Hey, folks, listen to me. Is that how you want to spend the last years of your life? Chasing things instead of being patient and not easily distracted, but listen, but allowing God to use your life. Listen, folks, I don't want to go around chasing things all of my life. I want God to take me and use me in a way, but in order to do that, I'm going to have to avoid distractions. Well, because Saul had a problem with distractions, it led to destruction. Led to his death. I've already mentioned that. But listen, if we're going to cultivate a listening ear, we've got to stop talking too much. Number two, we've got to avoid distractions. You say, like what, preacher? Well, let me say something here. Can I get a little personal? Y'all okay with that? Let me challenge you to do something. One of these days, those of you that sit in the front, sit in the back. And those of you sitting in the back, sit in the front. Can I tell you that the further back you go, now help me out now, the more distractions there are? Am I right? The further back you get, and listen, and the thing about it, the reason I know it, because I watch some of you, and there's people in front of you doing things, picking their nose, grabbing ear wax out of their ear, and you're going, Clipping fingernails. Listen, folks, you know why we do that? Because we got spiritual ADD. We have a hard time listening. We have a hard time. There's a deficiency with our attention. We can't pay attention. We can't apply. But listen now. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. Let's just tell the truth. But you know what? Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, brother. We're going to sit down in front of that TV with our chips, cut that on, and we'll yell and scream. And I promise you, they want a single one of you go to sleep. You'll be yelling at Romo. You'll be yelling at everybody on there that you can imagine, and you won't go to sleep. And listen, you'll stay up, even if it's 52-0, you'll stay up until the last second goes off the clock. And it'll be 11:30 tomorrow night before that's over. You'll stay up for every bit of it, most of you. You won't go to sleep? Now listen, help me out now. Help me. We can listen and pay attention to what we want to. Avoid distractions. Hey, listen, I'm telling you. Anybody walks between you and that tube tomorrow night, taking their life in their own hands. The little kid, they're going, Poppy, Poppy, don't ever walk in front of this TV. I'm just kidding. But hey, I'm telling you, it's almost that bad for some, isn't it? Don't ever walk in front of me again when I'm watching the Cowboy. I'm telling you, folks. But isn't it amazing how we'll come to church and we'll just allow all these distractions to go on and we don't think anything about it? Avoid distractions. Here's the third thing. Set aside preconceived ideas. Now, listen, this was the Pharisees' problem. Okay, talking too much was Peter's problem. Avoiding distractions, that was King Saul's problem. Having preconceived ideas, that was the Pharisees' problem. Because, you know, they were always accusing Jesus of doing something he wasn't doing because of preconceived ideas, right? For instance, remember when he was casting devils out? And they came to him and says, well, you can't possibly be doing this by the power of God, so you must be doing this by the power of Beelzebub. You must be doing this by the power of the devil. Now listen, you know why they came up? You know why they had that preconceived idea? Because they could not accept him as Messiah. Because they thought, you know what? There's no way our Messiah is going to be born in a manger. Ain't no way. Because our Messiah is going to come riding a white horse and he's going to have a crown on his head kind of sitting to the side a little bit. And he's going to have a purple robe on. And he's going to be filthy rich. And you know that Jesus was all the opposite of that? Totally the opposite. They said, no, this can't be. You can't possibly be Messiah. And you know their preconceived ideas, you know where it got most of them? In hell. You know, listen, you know where their preconceived ideas got them? It got them from little quotes that we have recorded in the Bible where Jesus said, you vipers, you hypocrites, you're like whited sepulchers on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones, like ravening wolves. Doesn't sound like compliments to me. You see, the thing about it is, it wasn't that the Pharisees didn't hear Jesus. They just weren't listening. You see, they just didn't think he could possibly be the Messiah, that he possibly had that kind of power, or that he could possibly be God incarnate. It's not possible. Let me give you one more. And that's this. Prepare to be a listener. Prepare to be a listener. You know, when you come to church, you got to prepare to listen. Because you know, first of all, number one, you know people are going to talk, right? And matter of fact, even during services, so there might be somebody next to you or behind you in front of you. Yep. Talking. Right? Or somebody, you know how we get. People think I don't see this, but I do. They're sitting there. And I always know something's up because they get real low down there. And I see them going. And I know they're texting somebody. What I want is the day that they forget to cut their little Yankee yank sound off when they get one, and the text comes on. I heard one guy the other day. I was sitting some. I forgot where I was, and he had that little deal when he got a text. You know, sometimes people just goes beep beep beep, or sometimes it'll say you have a message from whatever. This guy's didn't do that. This guy had a. I don't know where he downloaded this from. But when he got a text, I can understand when you get a phone call. But then it comes on when he gets a text. He says, "You got a text, stupid." I mean, everybody's looking around at this guy, and he's like, he's going, you know, he's trying to find his phone. And hey, folks, we need to prepare to listen. Samuel did. When God spoke, he said, "Speak, Lord." You say, "Preacher, what are the advantages of being a good listener?" Let me give these, write these down, and I'm not going to elaborate on these. First of all, when you're a good listener, it helps you with understanding and wisdom. Proverbs 15:32. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. We've already read just a minute ago, you know what? Listening can give you long life. Being a good listener maybe can extend your life. Number three, it aids in speaking the truth. You know, I found out that most people that tell the truth are also good listeners. You know why? Because they listen. They actually not just hear with their ear. They assimilate the facts and they speak truth. Proverbs 21:28. You'll know the will of God. 1 Samuel 3, 9 through 10. And then you'll learn from your mistakes. Proverbs 19:27. Now let me finish up and say this. Having poor listening skills will bring shame to you, to your family, and to your God. That's the reason, folks, that we need to cultivate a listening ear. And if we do, one day when God speaks, He says, "Samuel, Samuel," you won't have to go run to Eli. You say, "I know that voice because I've heard that voice before. I hadn't just heard it with my ear. I've heard it with my spirit before." And you know, can I say this in conclusion, church? When you come to church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, do you know God's always speaking? Always speaking. You know what the problem is? Not many people listening. He's always speaking, but not many people listening. So, yeah, I heard him. No, you didn't. You heard a sound, but you didn't assimilate anything. You didn't listen. And I'm telling you, the most joyful Christian that you'll ever want to meet is a Christian that doesn't just hear with his ear, but applies with their heart. Would you bow your heads with me for just a few moments here? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who can say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian, no question about it. I'm saved. I've been born into..."